Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This week, right in the middle of the week, we celebrated our nation's birthday. Some of the festivities took place last weekend, some of them on the very day itself. Others will be concluded this weekend. So I thought it was appropriate to look back in our history a bit, not being qualified to give a history lesson, but to look at some of the faces, or particularly one, that we can be thankful was there. And that was Abraham Lincoln. I did a little research on our 16th president of the United States, and the thing that strikes you first is his humble beginnings. Truly born in a one-room cabin with a brother and a sister. Grew up very poor. His father, a very stern man of faith, never believed in slavery. And Abraham was raised the same way. He lost a brother in childhood. He grew up and he worked hard. I believe they was born in Kentucky, moved to Indiana, and ultimately ended up in Illinois. He had many different jobs, worked on the river at one point in time. He went to school for 1 year. 1 year. And in that 1 year, he learned to read, he learned to write, and he learned mathematics. And from that time forward, he was all self-taught. He got married. He had 4 children. 3 of them passed. He opened his own business. It failed. There was a story one day that he ran miles on foot simply because he had given a customer the incorrect change. And he ran to correct that mistake. They say that he got the nickname Honest Abe, because when most people would have a business that failed and they owed money, they'd simply pack up in the dark of night and they'd move on. He didn't. He took a job or two locally and he worked until the debt was paid off. Passionate about making a difference, he entered politics very unsuccessfully to start with. But then, as we all know, after winning a race or two, he was nominated to run for president of the United States. And he became our 16th president. He came into office at a time when the country was tearing itself apart, arguably the darkest moment in our country's history. And he was the steady hand that brought us through it. I often wonder what our country would look like today had he been able to finish his second term. To be there to shepherd the mending of a war-torn nation. But he never got that chance. Because of all these things, he is still arguably in many ways and in many places, and quite frankly, may well be, probably the greatest president we had. But it was his commitment to the people. It was his commitment to what was right. And it wasn't about politics. It wasn't about any of that. It was about doing what he felt was right and what he was given the responsibilities to complete. Now, the reason I bring this up is because this was a simple, humble man. And he had a whole bunch of reasons to just tuck tail and go off into obscurity. He had many tragedies in life, many letdowns, many reasons to throw his hands up and say, I've had enough. But he didn't. Now, there are a number of words in the English language that could probably explain why he continued forward. But this morning, we're only going to use one. And that's grace. That's grace. Being a man of faith, or in those days, a man that feared God, I believe that Abraham Lincoln, like so many before him and so many after, were driven and gifted by God's grace. Humble, oftentimes broken, had to be just absolutely engulfed in depression, and yet never stopped. Ezekiel, today in the Old Testament, must be asking the same question. The first words out of God's mouth is mortal, reminding him that you are mortal, you are not immortal. You are human, you are not God. You are sinful and broken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Reminding him that he was weak, and even so weak that God had to breathe his spirit into him to lift him up. But in that weakness, in that doubt, when Ezekiel was probably asking himself, why me? God sends him forth to the state, to the people of Israel. Probably in such a way where God didn't think he was going to be successful either. But he didn't want Israel coming back and saying, well, you didn't send us any word, you didn't show us any signs, you didn't send us a prophet. Yeah, I did. Here he is. And Ezekiel heard that call, and he went. Probably begrudgingly, but he went. Paul, too. What qualified Paul to be an apostle? Persecutor of the church. Stood by and watched Christians be killed. And yet God broke him down and said, I need you. And Paul, as he says, in my weakness, in Christ, in my weakness, I am strong. And one very important thing that God says, my grace shall be sufficient for you. That regardless what the call is, regardless how much you're afraid, regardless what the calamity is, what the hurt is, what the burden is, my grace will be sufficient for you. And it was in this way that Jesus prepared his disciples and sent them out. I try to put myself in their place. I'm following the teacher. I have the honor, in most cases, of being with him. And all of a sudden now, I'm not only told to go out and preach repentance, but I'm told to do it completely unprepared physically. I'm not allowed to take any money. I'm not allowed to dress heavy in case the night gets cold and I can't find a place to sleep. You are to take the bare necessities, okay? Because my grace will be sufficient for you. And they did. That's the message today. In Christ Jesus, grace is sufficient. And like the apostles, like Paul, like Ezekiel, like Abraham, we're all called to something. Big or small, we're all called to something. That wonderful gift of faith, the Holy Spirit, that descended upon you at your baptism, calls us all to something. It may be something very small. It may be public speaking. It may even be to be president. It's not for us to say. It's only for us to understand that that call is there and to trust that whatever it is we're asked to do, that God will prepare us in such a way that we will be qualified. I read somewhere, these are not my words. I wish they were, because they're good words. But I can't take credit for them. And that is simply this. God does not always choose the qualified. But God always qualifies the chosen. And that chosen, that blessed, that group of people of faith, that's you. So that you can trust that no matter what life gives you, in joy or in sorrow, in good times or times of burden, when we pick up our own cross and carry it and move on, that as all the people of old, his grace will be sufficient for you in anything and everything we do in his name. His grace will be sufficient. Christ will be sufficient. And that you can trust. Amen.